Federal News Radio senior correspondent Mike Causey's here, and you're asking a question in your column today. You are asking the $1,200 question. Now, that's not as great as, like, the $64,000 question.
But more realistic in some ways, you know.
Yeah. So what's the question?
Well, the question is, and this is something that all federal workers have to wrestle with, the federal employees, federal retirees, have some of the best health insurance in the country, if not the world. You know, many of them don't think so, but they have a wide variety of plans. They have lots of choices. They can go from this is Obamacare, that's 40 years old. No pre-existing conditions, can't charge you more because you're old or sick. It's wonderful health insurance, and the government pays about 72% of the premium. So, you know, what's not to like?
Right.
But it's still expensive, even with them paying the minimal share of it. When you become eligible to retire, at age 65, you become eligible for Medicare. Mm-hmm. Now, Part A, in a sense, you've paid for, at least in part, over the years with your Social Security contributions. But Part B, the doctor's part of it. The A is hospital. B is doctor's part of it. Part B is something you have to buy, and it's means tested, but for the average person, it's about $100 a month or $1,200 a year. For people who make more than that, have a higher income, they pay even more. But let's say it's $1,200 for everybody. So you've got to make this $1,200 decision right away. Do I want Part B?
Mm-hmm.
And over the years, a number of calls from people, and people have different opinions. And a lot of this, I think, a lot of it depends on your personality.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of reminds me of, they say now with Obamacare, a lot of young people are not signing up because they're young and healthy.
Right.
But they're not immortal. You know, they can, as you and I have said many times, they could fall off a cliff, they could step in front of a bus, mm-hmm. Something could have some catastrophic illness, but they don't think of it that way. It's not an issue for them. And by the same tokens, people who are at 65 who are very healthy, who have one of the good federal health plans, say, I don't need Part B,
right.
So I'm not going to take it. But if they do need it, they could need it very badly, because Part A and Part B, I liken it to wearing a belt and suspenders.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're covered anyway. Two parachutes, you know, that kind of thing. And so for somebody like me, I would take it. You know, I would pay the $1,200.
Yes.
Knowing with the peace of mind that I have it. But a lot of the experts disagree, and put the question to Tammy Flanagan, who's, you know, a world's leading authority on federal benefits.
Genius.
Walton Francis, who writes the Consumer Checkbook Guide to Federal Employee Health Plans, and they have slightly different takes on it, but that's the upshot in today's columns. You have not me as the expert, but you have Tammy Flanagan and Walton Francis in a very detailed explanation, and it's the kind of thing I think everybody should take a look at today's column, even if you're in your 20s, because some of these things, like buying Medicare, like buying long-term care insurance, it's almost like life insurance. It's not for you. You're doing it for your family.
Yeah.
You know, this is a gift you're giving your family. If you get old and feeble and sick, if you can at least supply the money for them to take care of you, that's a wonderful thing to do. And so I really urge people to read it. And there's no yes or no answer.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it depends on your financial situation. A lot of it depends on your circumstances. I have a friend who literally drives a Porsche. He could buy and sell everybody in this room, which is you and me, but he drives to Tyson's Corners to get his gas. Now, I don't think that way, you know. But everybody, you know, knock your socks off,
whatever
you want to do.
You got time for that? Good for you,
right? And you know, if it's 60 cents a mile to drive there, he figures that too with his medical expenses. But you know, everybody's different. Everybody has a tolerance level. But I would really urge people to read this column, give it to an elderly friend, parent, relative, and keep it in mind for the day when you become 65.
The advice that you have in here, also that I think is the most valuable, is David Snell from NARF.
Yeah, exactly.
Talking about that a lot of it has to do with what's between your ears as much as what's going on with the rest of your health.
He's seen this so often, and it's kind of like investing. You know, some people, they say, put as much into stocks as possible. Don't run away from the market when it goes down. You should buy more. But it's the sleep at night factor.
Yeah.
And if paying out $1,200 for a Medicare Part B, which you don't use, if that bothers you, then probably you shouldn't do it. If you want to have a belt and suspenders, pay the $1,200.
Mm-hmm. Federal News Radio senior correspondent Mike Causey's here. We have also a story on federalnewsradio.com that for the first time ever, TSP assets top $400 billion. Yeah. I mean, they are managing a tremendous amount of money. And I talked to Kim Weaver about that earlier today. It's a big milestone for them. But I think that says a tremendous amount about not only what the TSP is, which is a place for you to invest your money, but the service that it provides with all the options that you have in a simplified way to be able to invest for your future in a way that's growing tremendously and historically has grown tremendously if you give it the opportunity to do it instead of messing around with it an awful lot.
Well, it's good you mentioned the fees and the low cost because when Congress set it up, they said keep it simple. Keep it inexpensive. And you and I interviewed John Bogle one time, the father of the index funds and all that, Vanguard. And he said the TSP is the best deal in the business, up to and including Vanguard, and that he wishes he could get in it. So, yeah, if you're a federal worker, it's interesting. Susie Orman was on WETA last night. She was here in Washington.
Hmm.
And it's funny, I recognized two people in the audience, you know, small
town. That's funny.
But she did a very good show, and at least a couple of questions were about the TSP.
Mm-hmm.
And being in D.C., she was up on it, but she said, for everybody in the thrift savings plan, she said, if the government matches you 5%, which it does for the vast majority of employees now who are under the FERS retirement system, if the government matches up to 5%, put that 5% in. It's free money.
Yeah.
Don't leave it on the table.
Yeah. I mean, you've been telling people that for a long time, so the fact that somebody as smart as Susie Orman says it must have made you feel pretty good.
I think she's a big fan of the column.
Yeah, that's got to be where she read it. Otherwise, how would she have known
exactly
about the TSP? Nobody's ever heard of it. But a lot of things about the thrift savings plan are looking good. The idea that the folks that they're getting through automatic enrollment are staying in is a good sign.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I just like the idea of as many people as possible being in the thrift savings plan and staying in the thrift savings plan.
And, you know, getting in it early. If you think when you started work, if there was something like a 401k plan, you probably wouldn't have thought anything about it, you know, at 18, 19, 20, or you would have thought you didn't have enough money. But if the government automatically enrolled you, if the employer automatically enrolled you, even if it was a percentage point or two, by now you would have a large chunk of change and probably be a very enthusiastic investor.
Well, here's an example of that. And this is something that I keep on my bookmarks on the Internet, and I look at it every once in a while. This is from something called dailyfinance.com, and it's titled Become a Millionaire on a Minimum Wage Salary.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, let's say you had that audacious goal of becoming a minimum wage millionaire by the time you retired at age 70. What do you really need to accomplish that? The table below shows how much you'd need to invest each month to reach that target, both as a dollar amount and a percentage of a full-time minimum wage salary. Now, if you start at the age of 18 and you expect that you can get 8% annual returns, which is not unreasonable
over a long period of time,
you would have to invest 8.9% of your minimum wage salary, which is $107.19 a month, every month, from the time you're 18 till the time you're 70.
Mm-hmm.
But if you wait until you're 40 to do that,
I don't want to hear it.
$670.98 a month.
I'm surprised it's that low. Yeah. Yeah, that's incredible.
Is what you have to invest
every time,
month,
you know,
to hit $1 million.
Whoever did the song
return.
Time is on your side.
The Rolling Stones did that.
Talking about
time is on my
investing.
Side. That's right. But that's what the author of this piece concludes. You need to start investing when you're young. You need decent long-term returns, and you need a really low-cost strategy. With these small amounts invested, even a $4 or $5 commission would eat through far too much of your available cash. Now, the reason they wrote this article is because a woman actually did this. They cite a woman named Grace Groner, a secretary for 43 years. She had a $7 million fortune when she retired. Because she didn't buy a bunch of crap she didn't need.
And she was very thin.
She invested But that's the gist here.
Yeah, yeah.
And the thrift savings plan is the tool to do it. It's
exactly.
Really amazing.
Yeah, I mean, and at some point, everybody in their life says, if I knew then what I know now.
Yeah.
But if you could just at age 18 or whenever you start working, just invest something, just start investing something. And if the employer match is there, take it.